Over the past 60 years, urban Catholic schools have been slammed by declining enrollment and rising costs. 5 years ago, a network of parish schools broke off from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It was an attempt to save Catholic education in the city. Not only did they survive, they may be on the verge of much bigger things, as WHYY's Avi Wolfman-Arad explains.
When you've been teaching at Catholic schools as long as Elaine Carboni, you've seen your share of hard times, shrinking classes, mergers. But things didn't get existentially bad until the winter of 2012.
Even the kids were scared. I mean, every day we had to come in and we had to say, you know, they would say, "Miss Carboni, are we going to close? Is our school going to close?"
Carboni began teaching in 1975, the glory days.
Well, when I started, I think I can remember we had 40 per class.
But white Catholics were leaving the city in droves. A steady drop in the number of priests and nuns deprived Catholic schools of the cheap labor they needed to keep costs low. Some schools hung on by serving non-Catholic families, many of them black. But by the early 2000s, parents in the inner city had a new free alternative, charter schools. For many small Catholic schools, the decline turned into an outright freefall.
It was very stressful. It was constant worry. You know, are we next? Are we next to go?
Carboni teaches at St. Gabriel School in the Point Breeze section of South Philadelphia. In that dreaded winter of 2012, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia slated St. Gabe's and 47 other schools for closure. But here's where the story takes a turn. Shortly after the closures were announced, 14 schools broke off from the Archdiocese and formed their own network of Catholic schools. They named this coalition the Independence Mission Schools, or IMS. And later that winter, St. Gabe's became a charter member.
I could just remember, we heard shouts throughout the whole school. I've never heard a shout as loud. We heard it on every floor.
Still, there was a problem. A lot of Philadelphia families who otherwise might have wanted to enroll their kids couldn't afford the tuition. And that makes one of IMS's first moves absolutely baffling. They raised tuition to $4,500. IMS President Anne McGoldrick was then the network's chief financial officer.
It is a funny thing to think about, and I would be less than honest if I didn't tell you I had many sleepless nights that first year wondering if we were going to pull it off, because, you know, the takeaway for people can be like, oh, that tuition number.
To understand why she did this, you have to know about two Pennsylvania tax credit programs. Basically, they let businesses divert money that would have gone to state taxes and sink them into scholarship funds for students who want to attend private schools. It's kind of like vouchers light. But the catch here is that a child attending private school can only receive as much in scholarship money as the price of the school. So if the school costs like $1,000, the scholarship can only be $1,000 or less. So by raising the price, IMS schools could bring in more cash, and that could stabilize finances and beef up the school's educational offerings.
When we got these schools, they were open, but they had been cutting things left and right to stay open. You know, so they didn't have investments in technology. They didn't have extra support in classrooms.
They also didn't have enough families. IMS made a marketing push to reach a lot of non-Catholic parents, many of them like Crystal Jackson, who back in 2012 had both of her boys in a charter school that she didn't think too highly of.
When I was in charter school, I had more money, but they weren't learning anything. I was like, I can't take this no more.
When she told a coworker about her frustration, the coworker mentioned a news report about IMS.
And I was like, I haven't heard about that. So I went online and I did my research. And that's how we ended up here.
80% of IMS families aren't Catholic. Most of the schools are located in some of the city's poorest neighborhoods. Half of IMS families live on $50,000 a year or less. And although the list price tuition may have gone up, the average family spends only about $2,000 a year at an IMS school. So by capitalizing on the funky economics of school funding, IMS has managed to raise enrollment 30% in 5 years. At DePaul School in Germantown, enrollment has gone up 50%. The new cash flow has allowed the school to shift to a blended learning model where much of the work happens on laptops. In Stephanie Etienne's kindergarten class last month, half the kids played math computer games while the other half worked on a writing prompt.
So we're going to write a letter to President Obama.
You can find hallmarks of Catholic education at DePaul. There's uniforms, religion class, daily prayers. But you're as likely to see a poster of Martin Luther King in the hallway as you are a saint. In many ways, it feels like a charter school with a splash of holy water.
What do you wish for President Obama? It's his last day.
IMS's original goal was to preserve Catholic education, but internally, there's now a sense that the organization is shifting out of survival mode and into something much more ambitious. And the political winds, they might just be blowing in their favor.
Parents no longer believe that a one-size-fits-all model of learning meets the need of every child. And they know other options exist, whether magnet, virtual, charter, home, faith-based, or any other combination.
That's U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos at her Senate confirmation hearing. DeVos is a champion of tax credit and voucher programs. Here in Pennsylvania, there's pending legislation to raise the cap on the state's tax credit program so more money can flow to private schools. With more government dollars, IMS could lower tuition further and reach even more families in the city's poorest neighborhoods.
Increased access to government funding would be very important to us and would be a game changer.
Skeptics will note that Catholic school students don't take the same tests as public schools, and that makes it really hard to measure the quality of the education. Catholic schools also aren't required to serve special ed students, and they tend to pay teachers far less than their public school counterparts. If tax credits expand and IMS grows, you're likely to hear a lot more of these complaints. For now, though, IMS is a feel-good story, kind of like Rudy, a scrappy Catholic underdog overcoming the odds. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, WHYY News.